Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together on today. Truly again, I am so excited that you have joined in with me on today. And I tell you, we have another wonderful lesson for you on today, and you are going to be extremely blessed on today. I have a wonderful lesson. It is called God is Love. And such a special day on today when love is just in the air and everyone is talking about love and recognizing that there are some that's out there, they're struggling in their life and struggling in their spirit because of many hurts and different things that perhaps has transpired in their lives and rejection, or people have walked out on them and or even just done you wrong. We want to begin to reiterate about the love of God, that ever and never ending love of God, where he has commended his love towards us. Sometimes it's really hard to even fathom that and put our minds around the depth of the love of God. But I tell you, when you begin to allow the process of deciding whether you're going to stay in that situation or that condition, or you're going to make up your mind and just say, God, I'm going to forgive the individual. I'm going to let them go. I'm going to give it over to you. I'm going to give my life totally and completely over into your hand and watch God just begin the miraculous healing in your life and deliverance in your life and whatever it takes for God to get you to the next level. I come to tell you, child of God, you are on your way. Oh, yes, you're on your way as you continue to look higher and allow your roots in God to go deeper. He's going to do a great and mighty work in and through your life. And so I just wanted to encourage your heart on today, and I'm going to invite you to go with me as we look in the scriptures on today. And we're going to go and we're going to look at several passages of scriptures on today. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter number 7, verses 7 through 10. We're going to look at the book of Romans, chapter number 5, verses 6 through 10, and 1 John 4, verses number 7 through 10. And we're going to look at the scripture, and we're going to see what the scripture says about love and God, who is love. We're going to look at that on today. Let's take a look at that. The first book is Deuteronomy chapter number 7. And it reads on this line, verses 7 through 10. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your father, and have the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, and from the hand of Pharaohs and kings of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandment 1,000 to 1,000 generations. And he repayeth them that hate him to their face, and to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Now let's look further. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 6 through 10 states, for when ye were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one yet die, yet peradventure for the good man will some even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Let's look further. 1 John 4, verses number 7 through verse number 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be our propitiation for our sin. Now let's take a look at this here as we begin to look at the wonderful thing that God has done for us over 2,000 years ago. We find it is challenging to the finite mind of man to, you know, really to comprehend the nature and the attributes of an infinite God. Now, as we begin to study this truth about God, who God is love, we're going to have an opportunity to begin to grasp a limited understanding even of God's nature and his being. Love is more than just an attribute of God. Love, it actually expresses the very essence of God's nature and his being. God is spoken of as being spirit, light, as well as love. In each case, it is more than a characteristic describing God. It is a declaration of his nature. Let's take a look at some of the scriptures. John 4 and verse 24 said, God is a spirit. Also, 1 John chapter number 1 verse 5 states, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John 4 and 8 state, God is love. Now, the love of God is measureless and reaches beyond all human limitation. He dwells continually in an atmosphere of love which is inexhaustible. To adequately express and describe the love of God, it is difficult. Even as a child of God, it is only we recognize that love is as the supreme nature of God. Now, there even the false gods of heathens are seen as angry tyrants full of hate and in constant need of appeasement. But God is not a God of hate. He is a God of love. Now, let's look further. God loves the world. Let's look at not the world system, but the people. Now, in the first epistle, the Apostle John instructed the Christian not to love the world. He emphatically stated that if a man loves the world, that the love of God is not in him. How can we then explain John 3:16? Well, it sometimes seems as though it is contradiction, but however, God can love the world. How can God love the world if he forbid his children to love the world? Now, let's take a look at that. Over in 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15 states, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, in 1 John 2, 16 through 18, the Apostle John described the world system whose spirit is that of an antichrist. Moreover, he described this system, world system, as lying in wickedness. And the Apostle Paul described it as being evil. 1 John 5:19 states, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Galatians chapter 1 and 4 say, who gave himself for our sins that we might be delivered us from this present evil world. Now, the devil or Satan is the prince of this world. 1 John 12 and 31 will speak of that. Also, Paul referred to him as the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Certainly, it is not this world system that God loves. Yet, it is true that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. it has been simply stated, God does not love sin, but he does love the sinner. Likewise, God does not love the world system of sin, but he loves the people who inhabit the world, and he desired to save them from their sin. Now, in John chapter 3:16, the word world simply means all people everywhere. God loves all mankind, male, female, old and young, learned and illiterate, regardless of the color, regardless of the culture or nationality. When our Lord speaks of Nicodemus of the love of God for all people, he emphasized the degree of God's love by using an adverb of only two words, or two letters, I should say, and that is so, S-O. The wealth of intensely that it expressed that the one small word staggered in imagination. The golden text of the Bible does not just say that God loved the world, but he said God so loved the world. And here it states that God loved all people to such a degree that he was willing and ready to pay the supreme price for mankind's redemption. Now, isn't that profound? Now, it was through his infinite, matchless love that salvation was conceived in the mind and heart of God. God saw the wretched lostness and condition of fallen humanity, and he loved us. He loved us in spite of the filth of ugly sin. He loved the sinner in spite of the unlovableness. He loved to the extent that Calvary was born in the eternal plan of God. Now, he loved. Let's take a look at it, how he loved the world that he gave. Now, one of the Greek words that's in the New Testament is philia, which expresses the love of an intimate affection, a love which receives personal pleasure in return. This is an exchange of love, or love which is given because of what is received in return. God does not give his love on the basis of what he will receive in return. He loves. God's love is expressed by the word agape. The word expressed the highest and the noblest form of love. It sees that which is precious and valuable in the object it loves. Agape is a self-sacrificial love. Agape love gives and surrenders without the thought of receiving in return. Such is the love of God. Romans 5 and 8 state that God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 3:16, hereby we perceive we that the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Now, the agape love is what caused the Lamb of God to die on the cruel cross for the sins of all mankind. It is the greatest of all love. John 15 and 13 state, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for a friend. Now, a person can give no greater gift than his own life. This is the supreme sacrifice and the evidence of agape love, the kind of love that which God has for all mankind. Certainly, the cross of Calvary is the highest expression of love, the love of God, for sinful mankind. The cross teaches mankind about the true eternal nature of God in loving and giving. Where there is genuine love, there is a real desire to express that love in giving and surrendering. The desire to give to the object of one's love is accompanied by and with joy, and personal sacrifice and suffering are not considered. Now, this is the kind of love that's fully demonstrated on Calvary's cross, in which God displayed in his love towards humanity. Now, let's take a look that. Does God hate? Let's take a look at that as well. God loves the sinner, but he does hate sin. There is nothing inconsistent or contradictory with that statement. If God loves, he must also hate that which would destroy or harm the object of his love. And so we must recognize he does hate sin. He does not want sin. He does not tolerate sin. Now, the affirmative would mean little if there were not the negative. Immediately, we must recognize what there's an up, there also must be a down. If there's a north, there must be also a south. Now, love would be empty and meaningless if there was not also the adverse reaction to the threat of harming or destroying the object of that love. Now, thus, it is possible for God to hate. God's nature is not vindictive. God hates, and his anger are not carnal human emotions directed at others with a punitive motive, but the hate of and anger of God are holy reaction of a holy God towards sin. Now remember, it's towards sin. God never hates the man because of his filthy, disgusting, or sinful condition. God loves mankind even to the extent that he is willing to die for him while he is yet sinful or in their sinful state. However, God loves humanity. He loves his creation, but he hates that which brought man to his fallen state. We must recognize that. Now, let's take a look at another aspect of God's love. God loves the church. Israel was a type of the church. Stephen preached one of the greatest sermons recorded in the book, Bible, just before he was thrust out of Jerusalem and stoned to death. Even though Stephen brought a strong indictment against the nation of Israel and accused them of the rebellion, not only did Israel rebel against God, but they killed God's prophet and finally became the betrayer and killer even of Jesus Christ. In his message, Stephen called the nation of Israel the church in the wilderness. And you'll find that over in Acts chapter 7, verse 38. As the church in the wilderness, the nation of Israel was a type of the New Jerusalem church or New Testament church. God loved Israel despite the backsliding and the rebellion of the people. Jeremiah stated that God's love for Israel was everlasting. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 and 3. In other words, God's love for Israel is eternal, both in the past and in the future. In the prophecy of Hosea, we have an allegory which pictures Israel as a harlot. Gomer, and Hosea's wife, was unfaithful to him. Yet Hosea loved her and redeemed her by paying 15 pieces of silver. Likewise, on Calvary's cross, God redeemed those who were hopelessly lost in sin by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful picture of God's infinite love, both in the story of Hosea and Gomer and in Christ's sacrificial death on the cross. God stated that he was married to the backslider, Jeremiah 3:14. The story of Hosea and Gomer emphasized this very own truth here. God's love for his chosen people cannot be destroyed or broken no matter what unfaithfulness they are or how unfaithful they are. But God's love for his people is not to be confused with his demand that we must turn to him for salvation. God will always love the lost people, but they must respond to his love by obeying his plan for salvation if they are to be saved. Now, there are those who falsely teach that God is finished with the nation of Israel, and that's not so. God still loved them. During the church age, blindness has happened unto Israel, but when the fullness of the Gentile has come, God will again deal with his chosen nation, and you'll see that over in Romans chapter 11, verse number 25. Now look at the church. It's a called out people. Now, the church was never an afterthought with God. The primary purpose of the incarnation was that there could be a Calvary. There was a Calvary that there might be a Pentecost. God planned Pentecost from the beginning as the time of the birth of the church. The church was planned, chosen, and foreordained before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, everything God did throughout his age and dispensation was planned that he might have a church, Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it in the same way that the husband should love and give himself for their wives or for their wife. And husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Now, God's love was revealed before the church was a reality. This, too, revealed his great love for the church, Romans 5 and 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, let's look further. The church is the product and result of God's love. The church has always been and continually shall be the object of God's infinite love. Not only is the church the object of God's miraculous love, but it is the members are filled with God's love. The church is the temple in which God dwells upon earth. It is the body of Christ, Ephesians 1 and 23. Since God is love and dwells in the hearts of the church, love therefore dwells within the heart of the church. Love is one of the strongest proof of salvation. The Apostle John wrote that he who loves is born of God and knows God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and that everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4, verses number 7 through verse number 8. Jesus said that his disciple would be known by the fact that they have love for each other. John 13, verses 34 through verse 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciple, if ye have love one to another. Now, God's love is absolutely essential in the heart and the lives of his children. However, the love that he imparts is not mere human love. It is a divine love which a person receives when he is filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll find that over in Romans 5 and 5. Now, it is impossible to possess agape love unless it has been imparted to us through the Holy Ghost. God first loved the church. He called the church to himself. The church responded to the call and returned his love. 1 John 4 and verse number 10. Is herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. Now let's look at how God loves us. The walls of so many different things in our society, a person often loves only those whom they are familiar with or who they can identify with. They love those who love them in return, or they often refuse to love the stranger or person that does not look similar to them, or the beggar or the drunkard or even a prostitute. These outcasts of societies threaten them, and they are fearful sometimes. But we must recognize we cannot allow our dislike in things sometimes to hold us back from loving the person. And I'm not talking about loving the sin, blatant sin. Please get that straight and think, because we don't want to get it twisted. We want to have it straight that we are talking about sin. God does not. He hates sin. But he loves the person. And I want to make that clear on today and thing. It is not so with the love of God. God loves all people everywhere. A person may be unkept, unwashed, crude, but God still loves them. He may be clothed in smelly rags, but God still loves them. They may be unlearned and even ignorant or don't have even education, but God loves them. No matter who and what walk of life, God loves them. He may be hungry or diseased, but God still loves them. May be a sinner, but God still loves them. The fact is, it's impossible to find one individual that God does not love. Now, he does not love the sin, but he loves the individual. Now, God loves us while we were yet sinners, Romans 5 and 8. God loves us while we were yet rebelling against him and rebelling against him as God and hating everything related to him. And God loved us long before we learned to love him. 1 John 4 and 10. No individual is worthy of the love that God extends to them. There is absolutely nothing that a person can do or merit such love. Whether it is he is young or handsome or old or decrepit, God still yet loves. It is a human to love when love is offered in return. It is divine, even when love is rejected, and God continues to love. God attaches no condition to his love, but pour forth his love upon all mankind. Let us look further and see. Now, God's love is out without expectation, exception. When the Apostle Paul was called to preach the gospel in the home of Cornelius, he realized that God was no respecter of person. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. He is the creator of all man, and that he made all one blood nation. Since every human being is God's child by creation, all of object of his miraculous love, God showed no partiality. He has no favor. His love, his grace, his mercy are offered freely to all men. The gospel is far for whosoever will. All God desires that his love be returned through obedience to his word. It is possible to discover a person upon a foreign field or in the underworld of a great city who God does not love. God loves all people. We must recognize that among the billion of souls who populate even this earth, they cannot find one man or woman, boy or girl, who God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, does not love. Such as its phantom and loveless limitless of God's holy love towards mankind, we must recognize that he loves us. Now let's take a look at, and he loves us without ending. If you actually take out the Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 3. Now the genuine agape love of God can never be exhausted. During all the time the prodigal son spent in the far country, the father was still loving him. The prodigal spent his money in the riotous living and wasted his substances upon harlots. He could fall no lower than when he was in the pig's pen and hungering for the swine, what they were eating. He determined to return to his father in spite of his dirt and filth, and his father still loved him. Remember, the scripture said he got out the fatted calf and he threw him a party. He got the robe and he got the ring and put it upon his finger and welcomed them back in. Such as it is with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he does. He welcomes us back in when we falter, when we have failed, when we come short. He throws his love back around us and receives us back in his wonderful arms, and we move forward into the places where God has already and originally have called us. And so it's such as it is. His love is limitless towards us. He loves us. True love never fails. It suffers long. It bears and endures all things. And you'll find that over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verses number 4 through verse number 8. We must recognize that beyond comprehensive and knowledge that this love is just without limit. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul wrote that we could experience the love of Jesus and comprehend the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of God's love. Yet in the same statement, he wrote that the love of Christ was beyond all knowledge. You'll see that over in Ephesians chapter number 3, verses 17 through verse number 19. Paul did not contradict himself. Rather, he knew that we would experience God's love, but our understanding could only be in part. It is possible to probe the height and the depth of his love, but never reach a perfect knowledge of his infinite love. The same apostle in his letter to the Roman church explained, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. Romans 11, verse 33. And so today, child of God, in my conclusion on today, we must recognize that love is more than an attribute of God. God is love, and he dwells in the atmosphere of love. Love is the expression of God's nature and being. God lives in the heart of his people and the church. Then love also dwells there. Where there is no love, it is evident that God's favor and approval are not present. One of the most indisputable evidence of the new birth experience is the presence of God's love in the person's heart, which is the evidence in the person's life and a practical observation of their behavior. The love in the heart of the child of God is not mere human love, but it is the God. It is God's agape love that dwells within the child of God's heart. This can be manifested only when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Oh, child of God, shalonoboshana. Oh, it's just so profound, just when you think about the depth of the love of God. As the scripture said that he commended his love towards us. Romans 8:5 said, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, my God. My. What a love. What love is this? Oh, my God. I tell you, God is love, and he loves you on this glorious day. Don't let no one make you think in your mind that God does not love you. I come to tell you he loves you, and he cares about you. And so, as never before, continue to move forward in that agape love of God. Receive his plan of salvation, adhere to his word, and watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. And remember, even as I close on this glorious day, I want to always remind you that God truly loves you and cares for you, and that he's working things out for your good, and that he will make a way out of no way. Keep on loving. Keep on praising. And remember, most of all, that God gave you something far greater than you can even imagine, and that is the gift of life. Enjoy your life. Live your life to the fullest, and watch God undergird you and fortify you and strengthen you. So, child of God, until we meet again, I pray that the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich, yes, and add no sorrow. Remember, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door, yes, the door, or that which you're desiring shall be open unto you. May the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich, child of God. I pray that you were blessed on today, and that you'll continue to abound in the love of God, and that his love will just overtake you and bless you, so much so that it will just shed abroad in your heart, in and through and by the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And so, child of God, until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. I pray for a no sorrow blessing to hit your house today. May God bless you until we meet again. Bye-bye.